Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our
Okay, I'm here.
Thursday.
I'm here. I'm here.
We
Have you
don't
seen
care.
me?
Nobody cares, in fact. This is our Thursday evening bracket rundown show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David
I'm
Griggs,
here. Yes.
John Titel below me, Joby Fortson with us as well. This is the show where we are going to mimic, in not the same way the committee actually does it, but what the selection committee, in the end result of what the selection committee does.
Yeah.
Of over the course of the selection weekend announces on Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
What we are going to be doing on this show, though, is building what's called a seed list. That is figuring out what 68 teams, as of about 10 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, January 21st, belong in the NCAA tournament. And after the show, and how they were ranked 1 through 68. After the show, we're going to bracket them up, and you'll be able to see the results of that bracket right down below us. So if you go look at it now, you've totally cheated and ruined the
You
entire
have
show.
like you've missed the entire show. So yeah, the process that the selection committee does, it takes about 4 days. First you have to select the teams, and then you have to go through the seeding process. So again, we've got about a 96-hour show for you tonight. Here we go.
Okay. What I'm going to do is pull up the screen here that we're going to be using tonight in on the show here. And as you can see, if it came up, there is lines here from 1 through 68 for the teams we are going to be putting in. As we debate teams that are not yet in, we'll put them at least on this under consideration section down here. As we put teams in, we'll be able to see some of their metrics as well, including their net rating, their KenPom rating, their strength of schedule, and Joby, your JNG rating will be showing up on the screen in this final column here. This screen will automatically tabulate for us how many at-large bids remain so we don't put too many teams in.
Yeah.
37 this year with the Ivy League not getting an automatic bid. And we use a few terms tonight as well. You may hear us say the term protected seed. What we mean by that is seeds 1 through 4, teams that are favored to make the Sweet 16. What we mean by a first ballot team is teams 1 through 8, that basically the top 8 seed lines, top 32 to 36 teams are considered first ballot teams. And what other terms do we use, David?
Bubble inside and outside the bubble.
If you don't know what that is, then you're on the wrong show.
Yeah, you really are. I think everybody knows what that is.
On that note, we are going to lose the screen. How about that? David, good job. You already messed things up
Yes,
here.
I did. I didn't like your screen chat, so I
Okay,
removed
let's get
it
the screen back.
from
What I'm
the
going to
chat.
do is here, though, is I'm going to ask each of our three other panelists here with me to give me four teams at a time. We will then debate them among everybody. If there's a consensus, we move on to the next line. If there is not a consensus, then I will act as the arbiter and make the final call on the tiebreaker. We'll be able to pull up team sheets for teams as we go ahead and hopefully get this done in a reasonable amount of time.
Right, yeah.
But let's get things rolling here, I guess. And Joby, I want to start with you tonight. Why don't you give me who are the top four teams of the nation right now? Who are the one seeds?
Yeah, I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to give you the J and G 1 through 4 because I actually agree with that being the order and the four teams.
I'd like to respond to that if I could, Chad. Oh, wait, he hasn't named the teams. I'm sorry.
Yes, please.
Zags, Baylor, Villanova, Michigan. I know there's going to be some Texas debate there, but Michigan.
Oh my God.
Okay, actually, just quickly, Joby, for those that may not know what the JNG is, other than it's the button up there that you can hit to see the ratings on the screen, what is the JNG, real quick, while I get these teams typed in?
The JNG is a computer formula whose aim is to actually project what the committee is going to do. Using the NG stands for nitty gritty, which is named after the sheets that the committee uses, the team sheets. That are similar in structure to what Chad will show you when we investigate individual teams.
Here's a couple right now. Go ahead.
Right. And so you'll actually be able to see, tier one, tier two, the schedule, a lot of the various computer components, road record, all the various things. And those things pop, and that populates and helps influence where the J&G. The example I give is if all of a sudden you look down, and you see that Auburn on the Zags is 74. If they were actually 76, they'd be tier three. The JNG actually takes that two ranking difference and applies it more greatly than if it had been 74 versus 72, because your eyes, because of the bias the committee will do when they go, oh, X year, number of tier two wins. I mean, it's not a cliff. It's not a cliff, but it is those gaps that will pop and give bonuses for tier one, tier two wins in particular.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about the actual four teams. And Ty, tell me, bring you in here and ask you, did Joby get it right with these four, or is there somebody that he got wrong?
I think we have to throw Iowa at least under consideration. I certainly don't have a problem. KenPom likes these four teams. The net likes these four. And I'm not convinced that Iowa is better than any of these four, certainly not Gonzaga or Baylor. But I think that their resume shows that they're good enough to be in the conversation for the one line. They've beaten up on a bunch of teams. Carolina, a streaking Purdue team, swept Northwestern. They won at the rack. They beat Minnesota. They won at Maryland, who Chad loves. I mean, losses to Gonzaga and at Minnesota are not too shabby. And I'm not saying that they're better, but I think they're certainly under consideration for the one line.
There's another team we got to throw out there, and you know who it is. So go ahead and put them up there.
I didn't think you'd go with Rutgers this soon, but.
Well,
we're taping this show a mere hour after Rutgers might not make this list.
if you pull up Texas, can we put them next to let's put up both Iowa and Texas if we can. Okay. Iowa's team looks really good. The resume is about to load there.
It does take a moment to load. So,
The win against Minnesota, it doesn't impress me that much because Minnesota has not won a single game on the road. So I think that that's a little bit of fool's gold at the tier one level. Maryland, Rutgers, and Northwestern, I mean, they're certainly good. But when you look at what Texas has done at the top, the wins at Kansas and at West Virginia, and another win against what I think is a almost ridiculously undervalued Oklahoma State team. We're going to get to them in a minute. I just think the top of that profile is amazingly good, arguably as good as anyone else's in terms of those two true road wins. Nobody else that Joby named, even Gonzaga, doesn't have two true road wins that good.
As we talk about Iowa, I just want to throw out there.
I think Gonzaga's better, but
I wanted to just throw out there real quick that there are at least four games of note that are being played as we record this or will be played later on tonight that are not being considered here at all. One of them is Iowa hosting Indiana, which is going on right now. The UCLA, Cal, Portland, BYU, Colorado State, Utah State games that are on the schedule tonight also not factored in. They may be teams we discussed this evening later on. But
Tell's question, what is OAR? I see that on the screen there, Chad.
Oh, okay. Let's throw that out there. Well, you see a number here in yellow here called OAR. And I just pulled up Michigan instead of Iowa, comparing them against Texas, for example. OAR is something that actually I put together, and it's just a straight computer number. What I've done is I've taken the seven major metrics that we use here, the KPI, strength of resume, Joby Year JNG, the KenPom rating, the Sagarin rating, and the BPI rating, along with the net, those seven ratings, add them up, divide by seven, you come up with an average, which is the number in parentheses. So 5.0 is their Michigan's true average. Then you rank them 1 through 357 against everybody else. So actually, they are the fourth best average in the nation. Okay. That's why OAR, Michigan, outranking Texas, for example, by two spots. And Joby, let me throw this back to you. You said Michigan. David made a pretty convincing argument for Texas. Tytel made one for Iowa. Shouldn't one of those two teams be in over Michigan now with that?
I like the fact Michigan's up in front of the Big Ten. They have, a swath of tier one and tier two wins and only one loss to that home court hero, Minnesota, who, while David dismisses the abilities of Minnesota, I think you got to look at the other side of the coin and say, wow, those guys are unbelievable at home.
I'm not dinging them for the Minnesota loss as I am so much not rewarding them for the Minnesota win.
Yeah, Texas
is a very really like double standard there, but they're two different teams. They're night and day on the road.
Well, we'll see. They haven't really been fully the losses they've gotten on the road are understandable losses, people would get. They need to actually – they haven't gotten – and that Nebraska game, unfortunately, was canceled to give them that little check mark in that column. Texas is extreme – I mentioned I could see the Texas arguments. You look at those three, I think Oklahoma State should be included in that three, like David said. those three wins are extremely quality, and the losses aren't embarrassing by any stretch. I just think the pure numbers come in to help Michigan.
Well, let me go back to Tytel now, because Tytel, you brought up Iowa, and I'm comparing them now to Texas right there. What do you think of David's argument, and which, you know, that, hey, when you look at the Texas side there, you've got two tier one A wins on the road versus Iowa, four tier one wins, but nothing in tier one A.
So a couple of thoughts. One, if you are a believer in non-conference strength of schedule, then this is over because it's Texas and it's not close. Yeah. That being said, a couple of things. I'm not as impressed with the win at West Virginia because, one, I think Oscar Tshiebwe was off the team by then, and number two, it was by 2 points, whereas the wins for Iowa, they go on the road. Obviously, the Rutgers win was close, but they destroyed Maryland and destroyed Northwestern. Secondly, David is correctly impressed by the Oklahoma State 3-point win. I'm more impressed by the Purdue 15-point win myself.
Fair enough.
Well, you guys did not make this easy. I think I've heard convincing arguments for all three of these teams.
But it's going to be Texas because that's who I argued for. Right, Jeff?
At the end of the day here, I'm gonna let Tytel's argument here that the way that has been winning is more convincing than the strength of the Texas wins. But I think it's a three-way coin flip, quite honestly, and I've got to make a call. So let's go with Iowa here. And Tytel, let me turn to you. I'll put Michigan under consideration, and let me turn to you here for the 4-2 seeds.
So Texas has got to be in here. I think Houston does, just because all they do is win for the most part. I'm torn on Tennessee just because they did not look good against a depleted Florida team. But I think that they have done enough that they're in here for now. And then as far as a fourth, if we don't have Michigan, we got to get Michigan. So I would go Texas, Houston, Tennessee, Michigan, but would certainly not lose sleep if somebody wants to argue for a team like Kansas or Wisconsin.
Let me start with Joby, and then David, I'll go to you.
I feel queasy saying this because it's so early, but Tennessee got kind of their hats handed to them in Knoxville by a team who's undefeated in the SEC and keeps winning. This Alabama team just keeps winning and winning against good teams.
I thought I had Alabama
right now. But it's like, you know, especially the Western Kentucky sitting there. But if you're looking at a recency bias, it's like, wow, they're just beating tournament team after tournament. LSU is a team we're going to be talking about probably later on. Yeah.
Joby, I'll throw it out there. Look at the OAR we were just discussing, overall average ranking here. Alabama's better than Tennessee in that when we look at the average of all the metrics. And because you look at those top wins, they're so good. But David, is Joby right? Maybe we need Alabama instead of Tennessee, or you think somebody else instead of Tennessee?
I was surprised because I was like, I thought everybody was going to turn their desks over when I brought up Alabama, thinking I had them really high. I didn't have them this high. I do have them as a protected seed categorically, but a couple of teams that I like more than Tennessee are Kansas and Texas Tech. The win at Missouri is solid. The home win over Colorado also solid, but part of this is a recent. I know that, like, you shouldn't look at it this way. You have to look at the whole body of work. But God, they just looked awful the other night, and I think that's a bad taste in my mouth. The win at Texas Tech for Kansas to me is pretty stellar. I think it's a little bit better than the win at Missouri. Part of that is a little bit of the eye test, and when you pull up Texas Tech, I really like that profile too. They just had a monster win. So I actually had both of them ahead of Tennessee.
Okay. Well, we can only put one team in instead of Tennessee, Stevens. And I don't think you're going to convince me that Texas Tech is the team, but Kansas beat them head to head on the road.
I'd say
for now, I'm going to table Texas Tech for until the three line at this point, but I want to go back to Tytel, this argument here of either Kansas or Alabama being the team that should be in above Tennessee here.
I mean, if you don't like tier three losses, then it can't be Alabama, but their non-conference strength of schedule is great. They have better their resume is better than Tennessee. Like, I'll give it to Joby. I can't argue it. He's right. I think it's a coin. It is a coin flip, but Alabama or Kansas, I'll go with Bama. What the hell?
Wow.
You know what? I
like that. I actually, that is a ballsy job by our committee.
I'm going to go along with it also. I'll note here that Tennessee and Texas Tech have both been mentioned. But we'll put to Alabama in there on the two line. They have been darn impressive. And I kind of agree completely with you as well. I think maybe Tennessee is going to be back here on the two line if they could turn around. I think I'm with you, David, that there's just a bad taste in my mouth on that.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead to the three line, Dave. Why don't you give me four teams? We do have four under consideration. You can go with those four.
Yeah, and three of those I have as my next three, Kansas, Texas Tech, and Tennessee. The fourth team is it would have been Alabama, but we already have them in. So I guess this is somebody I originally had on the four line. I really, 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 and you're going to have to pull them up so I can defend them because I know it's high. I love the Pokes. I have Oklahoma State right here.
Okay. Again, Oklahoma State, we noted this last week. They may not be postseason eligible if their appeal is heard and denied, but we're assuming that their appeal will not be heard before the end of the season. That could always change.
But here we go. A win at Texas Tech, somebody that's already on this line, a home win against Kansas. I know Wichita was not impressive tonight, but they have been pretty good, and that was a really good road win. And Marquette, while schizophrenic, it's still hard to go in there and win. The loss to TCU is a bit of an anchor, but it was by 1 point. I realize a loss is a loss is a loss, and I don't want to dismiss it. But when you look at their, like, another loss at Texas by three, this is a Texas team that we put on the one line or close to it, in the one seed discussion. And if you watch Oklahoma State play, they're a top 15 team. I know that they need the waiver, and I think a lot of people are kind of like poo-pooing them because of that. But assuming that they get it, which either assuming that they get it or that a decision isn't reached before the tournament, this is a really good team. And I just don't understand when I look at the metrics and when I look at the rankings, why they're lower. Maybe I'm just not good at math. Maybe you can explain it to me, but this is a damn good team.
Well, let me go to Joe. Joe, let me go to you first on this here, because I agree with David about, you know, that I like way Oklahoma State's playing. I think he's a little bit, maybe a couple C lines too high here.
It's a little high, but it's not outrageous. I like Oklahoma State too. Not here. Mm-hmm. I think it's a stretch here, but I think we're not far from calling Oklahoma State's name. Look at the depth. Once again, with just raw numbers. Look at Wisconsin. Oklahoma State has those are four nice tier wins. Of course, Wichita State and Marquette may not be in our field tonight. But
Marquette beat Whiskey, and State beat Marquette.
Yeah, fair enough. But but on a last second shot or whatever, with Wisconsin. Yeah. I like Wisconsin. I like the depth of Wisconsin. I see that Louisville win is a sneaky, really good tier two win. For instance, and we'll see if Michigan State can turn around as they develop. And so all of a sudden, those are wins that could find themselves in the tier one if the opponents do what I suspect. I mean, Michigan State's not far from it. 83-75 is not a big jump. I expect them to have more tier one to catch up. And I like Wisconsin more. Plus, I like the way Wisconsin looks right now. A little more. So, and that's saying something because I do like Oklahoma State.
I tell them, are you with David in Oklahoma State? Are you with Wisconsin? Do you think there's another team completely that we left out here?
You make some good points. I would still lean Wisconsin mostly because my brother-in-law went there, but I think Oklahoma State is.
Well, I didn't see that on the team sheet. I am sorry.
You're not looking at the right team sheet, my friend.
I got to scroll down to get there. Sorry. Yeah. Gotta go. Go ahead, Tytel.
The OAR also, I think that Chad gets credit for coming up with a nice metric, and I think that it's heavily in favor of the Badgers.
And I am going to agree with, actually, You've been outvoted 2-1 there by both Joby and Tytel. David, we're going to go with Wisconsin as the fourth team. I do have Oklahoma State under consideration. And Joby, I'm going to circle back to you here for the four seeds. Only one team under consideration, but you go with any four teams you like.
I actually do like Oklahoma State a lot here. Okay. But you're calling on me so I can be a homer.
To be honest, this is where I originally had them. Because, once again,
when we pull up the Virginia team sheet, it's going to have one reasonable win on the – it's a good win over Clemson on the road. At least it was until Georgia Tech came to town. But this is an eye test thing on Virginia. Let's be very blunt here.
The metrics back it up, though. Look at the net.
I think they passed the eye test.
The team sheet, it's going to not look as good, to be very honest.
We'll pull up in a second here. Why don't you give me two more teams first?
Clearly on this line, in my opinion. I think in this particular case, I do agree with Oklahoma State. Once again, maybe it's an ACC bias of how they look right now. But Florida State, I wouldn't want to play them. I wouldn't want to touch them right now. I think they are ready to explode. And it's going to be a Virginia-Florida State race in the ACC. I don't want to go with a team that probably most deserves it right now because they're going to maybe lose tonight.
They're struggling as we record this, but I know where you want to go.
I was going to old Nick Cronin's team was next, but I am going to pull back. Okay. I am going to pull back from them.
Leave under consideration.
I'll pick the safe pick, which is Ohio State.
Joby. That is my four line in order. I know I had – because I had Bama on – wow.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Since David says you agree with him, let me go to Tytel, ask you, do you agree with Joby, especially with teams like Virginia and Florida State getting up here on the four line with on maybe on the eye test even?
I'll go with Virginia. I mean, they looked amazing the other day when they went out and destroyed Clemson, I believe it was. And this is a team that seems to be getting better. Not every team in America is like that, and I do not want to play them in March one bit. Florida State, hard to explain away the UCF loss. Everything else looks certainly reasonable, and the OAR is solid. I know Joby likes Drake as much as Virginia, so I don't know if we want to get him on the four line also or not. I think that Ohio State is a safe pick, although this is starting to reach a point where we're talking about good teams who are starting to stub their toes. Like Illinois, like Colorado, like Clemson. So I don't think there's a clear-cut four. I think this is fine, but if you want to throw Illinois under consideration or Colorado, feel free, but I don't see them as head and shoulders above these four.
I'll drop them under consideration. The UCLA, I think UCLA is worth a half a second of discussion here. Let me pull them up against, let's say, that Florida State team real quick. As we record this, they are tied in the second half at Cal, which would be by far their worst loss.
Very bad.
But assuming they can find a way to actually win this game, you look at it and, they won at Arizona, who would be a tournament team, but for, they're not eligible. But I think I like Florida State's top of the profile, what they've done on the good side, a little bit better, David.
By
6-2 in the top two tiers even.
Yeah, and I've been championing UCLA for being underappreciated. I don't think that having them as a protected seed is outrageous at all. I just didn't have them quite there yet. The team that Joby did pick, Ohio State, did beat UCLA. That was one of the things I looked at when I decided to put Ohio State ahead of them. It's no surprise what line I do have them on. It's the next one. I just don't have them all the way up on the four.
I'll tell you what, let me go to Tytel then. And we've got three teams under consideration, UCLA, Illinois, Colorado. Why don't you give me the next four teams though?
So we're five line. I think those three are all in play. As far as other possibles, I'd say maybe Missouri, West Virginia, Clemson. If I had to pick four from that group, I'll go with UCLA. I mean, if they're undefeated in the Pac-12, that says a lot to me. I like Illinois, even though they've stubbed their toe many, many times. If it's too much to have Colorado in, assuming they just lost to Washington, God help them. let's go with Missouri and West Virginia if we have not gotten them in yet.
No. All right. We'll put Missouri and West Virginia. David, I know you want to speak about Illinois. Therefore, I'm going to go to Joby first for his comments. Okay.
I'm not high on Illinois really either. They just haven't. They've done what they're. They've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat, and they've lost to the teams they're supposed to lose to. But that lose to the teams they're supposed to lose to, they're starting to go down and down and down. If we do this show a month ago, Illinois might be a 2 seed or something. But they've been stagnant and started to not really show. I mean, look, Minnesota and Purdue, those are 2 tournament wins, but it's not, it doesn't blow you away. I'm not as big on Colorado. I have another team altogether.
Give me a team then.
And I know that they have a Penn State loss on their resume, but Virginia.
Yes!
I'm sorry. David, can you let Joby answer, please? I couldn't hear him.
It pains me.
What team, Joby?
The correct team.
Virginia Tech, look at the note. And yes, Villanova, Clemson, these are some really good wins at the top end and not a lot of bad. You know, at Louisville's nothing wrong with that. Penn State at home, I get you. You know, and it's a bad loss. But that's their one. That's why we're talking about them in the 5-6 line and not – and not talking about them at the 3 or 4 line. And whereas Illinois, they're kind of beating the teams as opposed to, and they're kind of Virginia Tech went out and beat Nova. You know, they went out and beat Nova. They went on a neutral court. They went out and beat Clemson, who at the time was rated ahead of them. So I like the teams that have aspirational height on it, and that's what Virginia Tech does.
Well, this was Tytel's last. Let me go back to Tytel first, David. I will get to you, I promise. But Tytel, the idea of Vatek instead of your Illinois pick, they have a very good win, 2 very good wins, I guess, but other than that, they haven't played anybody or lost.
Correct. And so tonight, to honor Chad, I will go with the OAR as the deciding factor, therefore Illinois.
All right. David, do you want to get into this argument? I think that you and Joby seem to both be on favor of Vatek Illinois, but I'll let you
say your piece as well. I don't think you can – if you look at Tier 1 and Tier 2 and you're just counting up the total number of wins, it's not Illinois all the way home. But, like, Minnesota, again, no road wins. Penn State, probably not in the bracket. Northwestern, probably not either. And then down the Tier 2, there's another Penn State win, probably not in the bracket. Indiana hasn't done much on the road. I mean, I'm just not blown away by that the way that I am, even though there's fewer things up there with the win against Villanova. Another team I like more than Illinois is Creighton. I kind of went back and forth between Creighton and Vatek, not Illinois and Vatek.
Well, David, real quick on the other two teams here, Missouri, West Virginia. Do you agree with Tytel on those two?
I do.
Picks?
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
Okay. I'm on board too.
Missouri beat Illinois, and boy, what a Illinois. I mean, I can't believe Illinois is not in the field yet, Jed.
Illinois is not going to be in the field yet because it's Tytel, you've been outvoted. Vatek in there at the number 5 line. And David, I'm going to give you the 6 line here, which means Illinois is probably not coming down this line either.
They are. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but okay, barely. They're the last. They're my last 6 seed.
Okay, go ahead. Give me a 6 seed.
I have Creighton, and I realize that they have. God, they've had an awful couple of games, but overall, I still really like them. Clemson, even worse couple of games, but still really like them. Going in the complete other direction, Purdue with an outstanding week, and Illinois right behind them.
Okay, so you still wouldn't have Colorado at this point.
No, I wouldn't. Okay, close, but to be honest, they're the next line down for
me. Well, Tytel, you mentioned Colorado a couple times already. Do you think that they belong in above one of these 4 teams?
I think I would put them. Creighton has fallen fast, but Zagorowski was injured, and he's healthy now, so I think they have the built-in excuse. Purdue is so hot, so if I had to pick, I would have Colorado in it over Clemson. But as Joby mentioned, the recency bias thing, like Colorado lost to Washington, which nobody's done this year.
Somebody did, didn't they? They had one win, didn't they?
I mean, Clemson lost to Georgia Tech, which makes Zach happy. So that
makes me miserable because Zach is
happy. But now look at Georgia Tech's profile. They're not going to be on this list, but they are in the NIT right now. You know, I mean, I think that's a very straightforward. They are an NIT level team and probably first like 12th out, you know, that's not, and it's not as awful a loss as Washington's an awful loss. We're talking.
And Joby, let me throw this in here on the club, on the defending the Clemson, but we just talked about how good Alabama is and they beat them.
And they talk about how good Florida State is now. It's his home.
And Purdue, who just is. Yeah. You
know, I mean, Clemson has some really nice – it's complete recency bias, I think, for us here. And that's – we should maybe be nicked a little bit on that because next week – I mean, last week we're talking Virginia at the 7-8-9 spot. Will they go on the road and they whoop this Clemson team – and now nobody is disagreeing that they're a protected seed. Clemson could do the exact same thing this weekend, go on the road, win in Tallahassee, and guess what? Clemson's going to be on the three line at that point. I mean, even higher than Virginia because they will have racked up Alabama, 2 Florida State wins, and a Purdue win. Yeah, I mean, that's really, really good. Georgia Tech loss is not, like I mentioned, is now moved to tier one. I thought it was still tier two. Tier one, but and I don't know if it really is a tier one, but it's certainly not an awful loss. But anyway.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to be sticking with your line here, David. I don't believe it, but we are going to stick with your line.
It's the correct line.
Let me go back to my list here. Joby, you're up next here for the 7 seeds.
Okay. We're getting really tough.
This is when it gets, you know, the next 16 teams right, are probably interchangeable.
David is going to freak out with my first team, but God, I love the number of quality wins, even if they're at home, by Minnesota.
I like the pick. I like the pick here on the 7 line. Go ahead.
Freaking out. I had them on the air.
I will go with Minnesota. I then do Oregon, even over Colorado. Okay. Yeah, and that's a tough one. Louisville. And, you know, you're just picking, you know, it could be one of 10 teams. Since Colorado has been hanging on our board, I will give Colorado the pass and get them there.
Tytel, what do you think of these 4 teams?
We're getting into hold our nose territory, which is to say that they've all been, like, shaky recently, but they have some fantastic wins, like Joby said on the resume. I would throw, like UConn under consideration here and USC, but none of them, like, again, it's the same. My theme all night is that I can put teams around here, but I can't say that they're head and shoulders above the ones we already got.
Joby, what is it about Louisville that, you know, makes you think they're, you know, a 7 seed?
I think there's a little eye testy on that, but I think the way Carly.
Okay, I almost went blind watching them against Miami.
Oh God, that was it. And that is deservedly so. And if to be dinged for that Miami loss is legitimate dinging, because this is a Miami team that does not have, still is without likes, though Wong did go for what, 24 in that game.
Yeah.
I think this is a well-coached team. I think this is a team that will get their wins going forward. I feel like Miami was a blip. I do think, though, on the other hand, the Florida State win I view as a promotion of Florida State as opposed to a downshift of Louisville. I think they have the veteran leadership now.
They lost to Florida State.
And yeah, well, exactly. But I say that as a promotion of Florida State.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Downshot. And so I think Louisville is going to start to really produce. Plus, the wins they have, you say they're tier two, but Virginia Tech and Seton Hall are tournament. I think we'll say Seton Hall's team later, name later. And while Pitt's probably, ironically, I like the tier two wins more than the tier one win, Pitt will be an NIT team.
And you got a Western Kentucky and a Prairie View. Those are 2 more tournament wins.
Who knows if Kentucky will ever dig themselves out. There are only a few, wins in the SEC from doing that. But point is, I think this is the time for Louisville, and I feel good about it.
I had Louisville in, but substantially lower.
I do agree with Tytel on Connecticut.
David, make the case for somebody. Is it UConn that you would have in over them?
Yeah, okay. UConn and Colorado and USC.
Okay, let's just go with one team again. David, David, it's not going to take much convincing, but convince me why UConn belongs in over Louisville.
Well, okay.
Louisville out, but tell me why UConn in.
Well, okay. UConn is in. The neutral floor win against USC. I really like the SEC, the SC team a little more than Pitt. The win at Marquette also rather impressive. Marquette's schizophrenic, but still pretty good. And with the exception of one like disastrous, horribly coached final minute of a St. John's game, they've avoided bad losses.
Well, and that's the most recent game coming off their break. Let's see if that's the trend. That's why I hesitate on UConn. At least Louisville had the excuse of flying the day down across. If you know the flight from Louisville to Miami, it's not a short flight. So
Joby, I'm going with the UConn here as a pick. You know, Tytel said, you know, who would be any of them. I think David gave me a David's argument was pretty convincing. And Louisville's eye test right now is pathetic. So, but Tytel, let me go to you.
UConn losing to the Johnnies.
Well, they didn't play as bad as Louisville played at Miami. They did not play as bad as Louisville played at Miami.
Yes, but St. John's is bad. And I don't care about the final minute. You'd be up 20 in the final minute.
Tytel, we got Louisville and USC under consideration. Why don't you give me four teams?
I want to give you St. Louis, not because they've done anything in the past month, but because they haven't had any bad losses in the past month. With the two under consideration, Louisville and USC for my fourth. I think that Boise is in the conversation here, maybe BYU. But I think I'm actually going to push for Florida only because it was one of the most impressive shorthanded wins I've seen all year when you go and destroy Tennessee without Colin Castleton or Scotty Lewis or obviously Keontae Johnson. And I know I ask this every week, but can you remind us, Chad or somebody else, does the fact of whether or not Keontae Johnson is back in March Madness impact the seed for Florida?
I think that if he actually comes back, it will impact their selection of their seeding. I think that the committee will give them a bit of a pass on some of these bad losses they suffered without him. But if he does come back,
and he needs to play, they can't just announce. I mean, the committee's not going to do a pure trust factor. He needs to play in the SEC tournament.
I think what we've seen, it is a factor. You hear the committee takes into account injuries and suspensions, but I think they consider it more heavily for Florida's opponents. If you beat them when they're at full strength, you're going to get a little more credit than beating them at half strength. I think that's more of the emphasis when they say they look at injuries and suspensions, but they would look at it. They'd consider it.
And David, what do you think of these four teams? I kind of like the four teams, but
I actually did have St. Louis this high, even though for the same reason, I just think that they look good. It's hard to defend the pick, so I'm glad somebody else voted for them. I like Boise, who he mentioned, and BYU and USC. That was my line.
Okay. Well,
I didn't have Florida quite this high.
Joby, your thoughts on this? I think Louisville being up here needs to be here now.
Back and forth, and it's an 8-9 situation. I actually am not quite there in Florida yet. I want to see another game, that Kentucky game. It's not that they had the win over Tennessee. That's great. But the Kentucky loss really just sticks with me even a couple of weeks later of just awful. It was pathetic. I mean, it was just they gave up.
But you're going to put Boise in front of them with just win at BYU? Or you
I'm going to put Boise in because – Boise hasn't messed up. I hate to say it like that, but they did win against BYU. Boise, if you put their team sheet up, they're going to have the opportunities to prove or not prove because the Mountain West is not awful. They'll get that. On the road at Colorado State is a good test. At San Diego, good test. And then at Nevada is tricky, though. You're not going to get me a lot of credit for the sweep there.
Are they not playing Utah State?
How they do it. If they can do, and they look good in their line. I don't know if you saw them, when they whipped Fresno State, they were tight with like 10 minutes to go. And then Boise said, we're on it, going inside and playing solid rebounding and defense, shut Fresno down and said, enough of this silliness.
I
delivered it.
I'm just now noticing this. They're not playing Utah State.
Was that a COVID casualty? I'm not sure.
I mean, those are.
But that's a big deal.
Yeah, for both teams, that's a big deal.
I'm not going to vouch for 100% accuracy on what you see in here on the screens because of the schedules being constantly bounced around here. But as of the moment. The question is Utah State and Boise State. I actually see that scheduled for February 17th and 19th, so it's not on the screen. It's coming up February 17th and 19th.
Good.
I did try to get that for real quick. Did just do that.
All right, thank you, because that is a big.
Yeah, I thought it was coming up late in the season. It's just, you know,
we're going to be talking about Utah State later.
Let's go ahead. We will put Boise State in, Florida out. David, why don't you give me the 9 seeds? We do have BYU and Florida under consideration.
Okay, can you give me a second here to get... Is Louisville in?
Yes.
Okay. So the 9 line, I have BYU is my top team.
Yeah, Florida.
I'm kind of juggling things around because of the day's result. Not quite Florida yet. I have Oklahoma, Xavier, and... Oh, yeah, Florida.
Oklahoma, Xavier, and Florida. Tito, what do you think about... Getting BYU, Oklahoma, and Xavier in here as well. I know you like the Florida pick.
I do. I think that as much as I'd like to get Rutgers in, I think that this is a little high for them, unfortunately.
I think the 15 line's a little high for them after what they did tonight.
I had them on this line, Chad, but like adjusted.
They're 7-6 now, and they looked pathetic tonight. Even though they came back, it wasn't back enough. So I don't think Rutgers belongs here. I don't even want to put them under consideration yet. But go ahead, Ty, I cut you off.
As long as we're doing Jersey teams, I think Seton Hall was literally like a second away if Mamu could have caught that pass and put it in against Villanova. I think that LSU was looking good until they got destroyed the other night, giving up 60 in the first half, unfortunately, to add the Bama. But, no, I think this is a solid line. But if somebody wants to argue for the other two, I like the other two as well.
Joe, you want to make an argument for LSU or
Seton Hall? Yeah, I like actually both over Oklahoma here.
Okay.
And
which one do you like the best of the two?
LSU.
Okay, so let's take a look at Oklahoma.
I think that's an indication of how good Bama is. More than now, LSU, they haven't really been. There's a lot of unknowns about LSU, so my opinion of LSU could completely change given this week. You know, if they lose it, Kentucky, could easily happen walking into Rupp, then. LSU could be completely poisoned on them, but I think, and so there's a little bit of a hope with LSU, but I think that they are legitimate, though their resume is bereft of quality right now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Joby.
Oklahoma beat West Virginia at home, who is okay. You beat them by 4 at home. Didn't do anything else.
But Joby, I'm looking for the wins against teams we've even mentioned tonight on LSU's profile. They're not there. At least we have a team we've mentioned tonight in the win column here on Oklahoma.
Look at Oklahoma's schedule, guys. 7 of their next 8 are against top 21 net. Unbelievable schedule.
Yeah. If you pull up Seton Hall, they've got more losses. So I'm kind of leaning towards sticking with David's decision here of let's stick with Oklahoma for now, but I think LSU probably belongs on the next line. And in fact, Joby, since you're up next, I'm certainly going to be on the next line.
Since I've kind of supported both, I will blam. Those two are easy. Okay. All right, this is where I'm going. Maybe I'm just a Mountain West lover here, but I think this is where and you know how much I dislike Utah State for their scheduling most years. So I'm actually going to reach out and do Utah State. And yes, Tytel, they're not better than Virginia, but it's time.
Time for Drake. I was shocked that you
Drake continue to just pound people.
It's I had Drake on this line.
They have a just amazingly bad schedule. It's like everybody they played out of conference has just gotten worse and worse and worse. And some people even quit their season in the case of Chicago State. Now that's, they knew what they were doing with Chicago State, but they, but it's like, at some point you got to just say this team, this Drake team's good, and they'll get their chances because Missouri State's a decent team. Loyola Chicago's a good team, and Northern Iowa should have been a good team. Maybe they turn around. I don't know. So
yeah. Ty, tell, let me ask you first. There's Utah State and Drake. Do you agree with Joby that they belong here on the 10 line?
I think I originally had them a little lower, but I think they're both in play here just because the teams I had ahead of them, like Rutgers, like Arkansas, mm-hmm. have like fallen flat, frankly. So I think this is a perfectly good line to have them on.
David, do you have any arguments with Joby's line, or can we just move on to the
11th? I'm not quite all the way there on Utah State yet. I just don't think that they're that high. And a team I was
with you until they beat Colorado State just two nights ago. I think that third tier two win kind of did it for me, and I'm there on them. They will play them here in a couple hours, and about tipping off about 20 minutes from where we are right now again. Yeah. So that
and would, that 9-0 record, that looming Boise State that we luckily Chad pointed out is going to happen.
It is going to happen. It just should be right there.
It's kind of neat to see the 9-0 versus 9-0 on the way to that, assuming they take out Colorado State tonight.
Yeah. A team I want to look at that's a little schizophrenic, but the top of the profile is really good, and I guess I can't get past that, is Maryland. Can we pull them up, Chad?
Yeah. I definitely want to pull them up. I think they belong on maybe the next line or the line after. But
yeah, when we're talking about the other teams that we're comparing them to, I realize that that's a lot of losses, but it's Iowa and Michigan and Michigan and Purdue and Clemson. I mean,
and a 7-7 D1 record. That's the problem.
Yeah, I realize that, but I also think that six of those losses are to teams that are, you know, five line or better.
I guess I'm just looking at, you know, I'd like to see something here in tier two, and I don't know. Yeah, they're all five line or better, but David, that's all they've got left. So if they just lose to five line or better teams, they're going to end up five games under 500.
Which is a problem.
Yeah, it's a major problem. I guess I don't see it. You know, Tytel, do you see Maryland at this point here on the 10 line? At 7-7?
I don't, although I would say, like, I think Indiana is leading Iowa as we speak, and they might go from off the board to, like, a single-digit seed in, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if we might be after we're done with the show. So, again,
spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler. But, Tytel, why don't I go to you now for the 11 seeds here? We've got eight large bids remaining here, although you could go with any four teams you like.
All right. I like the Aztecs. I know they've been dropping water recently, but I think they're still hanging around. I like Carolina only because I can't imagine a tournament without Carolina or Duke or Kentucky, which has never happened in my lifetime. I think that we got to throw Winthrop under consideration only because I really think a zero or one loss season is in play. They only have two road games left and they're undefeated. And I know their strength of schedule is atrocious. Like
3-0-1.
I readily admit it, but I'm telling you, like, when you don't lose, you don't lose. You know, I like undefeated teams. As far as some others here, I think that maybe Michigan State, I know it's not great. Maybe Stanford, I know it's not great. So if you want to go a little deeper down, like a Richmond or a Toledo, I would understand. But we're just picking names now because there's not a lot of greatness left.
So which four teams are you giving me? San Diego State, Carolina, and what other two?
Give me Maryland and give me Winthrop only so I can hear arguments against them.
Okay, you go Maryland and Winthrop and leave Michigan State under consideration.
Yes, please.
I can't get Winthrop this high. I really like this Winthrop team, but
if they finish with one loss to you, though, is it kind of predictive maybe?
Am I in a completely wrong world here where David is arguing against the small school and Tytel is arguing for them? I mean, you guys are on the wrong sides of the argument here.
I would like to see from Winthrop is for them to work in a couple of more out-of-conference games if they're able to. And you would hope that they would be, given how many cancellations and postponements there have been. Furman is what I was trying to hang my hat on with him. It was a really impressive win, but Furman is kind of letting me down. Greensboro, I thought, was going to be gunning for the bubble along with Furman. Greensboro's nowhere near the NCAA tournament, neither is Little Rock. So a lot of the wins that really excited me and what was a phenomenal couple of days for this Winthrop team, I'm just a little bit less impressed with.
David, to back you up, their first top 300 road, their next top 300 road win will be their first top 300 road win. And they've only got two road games left.
Yeah. There is a team that I like that I need to, when I say like, I mean relative to the line we're talking about, two actually. But
give me your pass one here against Winthrop.
Okay, Pitt.
Like it. I'll put Pitt's poll for off here. I want to go to Joby here for your comments. Also, you are an ACC guy. You got to like the top of that Pitt profile a hell of a lot better than the top of that Winthrop profile, don't you?
Pitt, I'm fine with Pitt under consideration. But you mentioned, I'm an ACC guy. The ghost of Zach. Look at Georgia Tech.
Oh, no. Please.
Okay.
Because there are two teams in our field, assuming North Carolina is in, that Georgia Tech will have beaten. You know, and that you know, on that, they have some – they have the Mercer stub your toe. Georgia State's not a bad loss.
It's not.
Georgia State is one of the best under-the-radar teams and will be in Chad's field at probably a 12 or a 13 seed, I'm assuming, you know, when we start doing the fill-out. So that's not a bad loss. Clemson, North Carolina, two tournament wins. I'm saying and a Mercer poor, but the Nets 88, it's not beyond – it's not like losing to St. Francis – just saying, for instance, like our Pitt friends. So, I mean, Georgia Tech.
Okay, so we've got now the debate here. I think we kind of like the San Diego State, North Carolina, even Maryland, I haven't heard much debate against, but now it's kind Maryland's of look at Winthrop, we got Michigan State, we got Pitt, we got Georgia Tech. David, I know you had one more comment on this, but I do want to get a decision here and move on.
Okay, there's one team I want to get on the board before we're done here, okay, because it's
give
such
a give me something I'll put under consideration.
St. Bonaventure.
It's
hard to look at their metrics and evaluate them because of the situation that they are in. But I know that this sounds like a backhanded compliment. I think they might be the best team in the A-10.
And St. Bonnie's, I like that a lot. I like them. I like that a lot precisely because they finally got tested yesterday and passed the test. VCU's a good team. They're not, I'm not saying VCU's a world beater, but they went out and they had a solid win against a quality opponent, which was, can the Bonnies do this? They did. Good for them.
This game coming up against St. Louis is going to be so, so telling. It's kind of one that they both need because both of the resumes are kind of flimsy. The Bonnies just could not get on the court, and again, similar to Winthrop, you hope that they can get some chances to get some meat on that resume because they're good.
Okay, well, let's go here and let's go to the back to the board for a second. Just a quick note: UCLA, the game has gone final. They found a way to barely survive at Cal, so no need to make an amendment here and drop them down. But Tytel, this was your line here. Do you want to stick with Winthrop, or do you want to go along with any of these arguments we heard? For a very interesting argument on the Bonnies, I think.
They are, and the Bonnies are so good, they might end up as a single-digit seed, but I'm telling you, like, put Indiana in right now, you're going to look like a genius in an hour.
Yeah. Indiana's up by 8 right now with 3.
Yeah. Hey, do we want to do a scrub
David, we're not doing any scrubs tonight, but let's throw this up there.
So I can't motion Texas over Iowa and have it seconded and you call it.
No, we're not doing that tonight. We're doing a very streamlined process, but David, I think there's an argument here that even if they lose this game to Iowa, there are 4 tier 2 wins versus no tier 2 wins on the Winthrop profile. If you're talking putting a 7-7 Maryland team in,
and they just went up by 11.
Why not put it?
They're on a 22-3 run over the last 9 minutes. Yeah, you got to put.
Okay, let's just make it easy. We're going to put Indiana in here. They probably
genius.
Just got to be up higher than that even. But we need four more teams. We actually have six more teams we're going to fill in here tonight. But well, four more at-large bids. Dave, why don't you give me two more at-large bids, probably from that, or two more teams total, probably from that list of five. But you can give me somebody else if you prefer.
Two more.
We need two. Give me two of these teams.
If we include them.
Yeah, you can give me Winthrop here, but they'll just increase it down.
Pitt and Michigan State.
So you're not doing the Bonnies then?
Pitt and the Bonnies.
Okay, we'll go Pittsburgh and St. Bonaventure. Does anybody want to say that this is dead wrong putting these two teams in here? These are first four teams, by the way.
I really do think Georgia Tech's an over Pitt. From an ACC.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Then Joby, I was going to ask you for the next team. So your team is going to be Georgia Tech, and Tytel. I'm going to, you know, we just knocked off Pitt, the Bonnies, and Georgia Tech. Do you want to give me Winthrop, Michigan State, somebody else?
Winthrop.
You'll give me Winthrop. The good news is
Winthrop is now sandwiched in between the first four.
The bad news is we still have an open spot here on the board. We have one more team we're going to need. I'm going to pull up Michigan State's profile. I want to kind of say we've got to be able to debate them against somebody, though, here.
Let's debate them against Marquette.
Yeah, good choice. Because Marquette's such an interesting
team. I know. We should talk about Marquette, even if they're not in this debate.
I would take with the Wisconsin and Creighton Road wins. I would take Marquette over
Michigan. I would, too. And looking at it, I just can't get over the top of that profile.
Tytel, what do you think?
I do like the OAR as the deciding factor, so Marquette it is.
All right. Let's put Marquette here in as our final team. Kind of a bit of a consensus. It actually was the bottom of the bracket. It'd be a little easier than the top for some reason. Yeah. But I do want to discuss a few other teams here. We mentioned Michigan State. They're not going to be in. I think they're probably our top team out. But, Joby, any other teams that you think are right there that we did not put in tonight?
I think Stanford's always going to be looming. That because their losses aren't bad if you think Carolina, especially if you think Carolina's in. Stanford's not bad. You know, let's see how the A-10 sorts itself out. We talk about the Bonnies. You know, they beat Richmond. You know, Richmond gets a lot of love in the J&G. I don't know if that's fully baked per se. But, yeah, and there's teams that have a chance to move up. Teams that – Indiana had a chance to move up. They did tonight. I think another team that has a chance to move up as the season goes on, but they're deservedly not in this field right now, is Providence. I felt very strongly about, and they delivered recently. I think Providence preseason, I had them like three in the Big East. They will not achieve third in the Big East, but they do have that talent that I think is why I said they were third in the Big East. And if David Duke doesn't shoot 5 for 17 or whatever it was over and over again, then maybe they have a shot at going moving up.
A couple other teams that I think, you know, maybe deserve under consideration here: Arkansas, you know, a team that, you know, has good metrics. Tytel, anybody else that you think we haven't mentioned that's close?
I think Richmond's close. I mean,
yeah.
Any other year winning at Kentucky is great. Obviously, this is not the year, but they're doing it with one of their star players who's been hurt all year. And they've also beaten teams like Loyola. They've won at Davidson. Like, they have a lot of meat on the bone.
And, you know, I'll be a little self-serving here. I don't think Rutgers is completely off the board yet.
They're not.
David, anybody else that deserves to be under consideration?
Consideration, but not in. Yeah. Because of a monster win at the top of the profile is Western Kentucky.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make it easier. I am going to put Western Kentucky in. They're going to be my auto bid winner out of the Conference USA. They are the best team in CUSA right now. So they are in. As an auto bid winner, not as a...
Right. Probably outside the bubble. Well, they are outside the bubble by one, I suppose.
But that's exactly where they would have been. Anyhow, so... on that note, actually, let me go ahead. I'm going to pull up the rest of the field here as well, in fact. So these are the 13 through 16 season. We actually mentioned Georgia State. There they are, the top of the 13 line. We got Furman on the 14 line, a little fall after a bad loss they suffered this week. Undefeated Siena team in there. Navy, all the way down to Prairie View.
Yeah. And again, as a reminder, I know we just kind of blew through the lines 12 through 16. We do cover them in depth on Under the Radar. You can scroll down and watch it if you'd like some more analysis and assessments of them. We like them, don't we, Chad?
I love these teams. It's just, that we're not going to spend any more time on them this show. But on that note, I think I want to go through each of you here. I'll leave the board up here. For any other final thoughts, either what we did tonight or anything else going on in college basketball, Joby, let me start with you.
How far have the one and done mighty fallen? Not even every basketball show across the country says it, everybody, but it is true. We really, really, really did not mention, except as far as opponents, Duke or Kentucky seriously when we were pulling four teams. And I particularly pick on the Blue Devils Kentucky at 4-8, you just can't. But Duke, they're around 500, just like Maryland, but Maryland has actually produced some quality wins. Duke is not. Let's see. I think Kentucky, even if they go on a nice little win streak, it's going to be tough for them to get back in. But let's see if Duke can get their freshmen, and this might be a story we'll be saying 3 weeks from now as well, get their freshmen together and actually pull out some wins. Because if all of a sudden they start performing to the pure talent level, that Hurt can score. So let's see about Duke long term. But it is shocking that we don't even mention them under consideration, and deservedly so at this point in the season.
As long as we've been doing Hoops HD, as long as we've been doing these bracket rundown shows, the first bracket rundown show we've ever done with neither Duke nor Kentucky on the board, or at least under consideration. Tytel, let me go to you.
My bracket-related thought is I would love to see a 7-10 game between Minnesota and Drake, only because Liam Robbins, who's been kicking butt for Minnesota all year, played for Drake last year as a sophomore before becoming a junior center with the Gophers. Drake has literally gone undefeated since he's left, but I wonder how it would be to play against his old team. I think it would be fascinating. As far as a non-bracket final thought, I know that Michigan men basketball has been getting a lot of love this year, but women were 10-0 coming into tonight's game in Columbus. Star junior forward Naz Hillman scored a school record 50 points tonight, breaking a record set by Rudy Tomjanovich and Kazzie Russell in the 1960s. She also had 16 rebounds, but they lost by 4 points at Ohio State. Oh. So good on Naz for a 50-point school record game. Sorry that she lost.
I will just mention, David mentioned earlier during the show scrubbing, and I kind of shut him down. But what the actual committee does is they will build this while games are still going on. And for that reason, among other reasons, they will go through line by line once they've built this, and even not line by line, but even, as other games go final, and just say, hey, that they may say, well, we're going to motion because Indiana just won, we're going to motion them up to the 10 line or the 9 line. And they'd have discussions and votes on that and the like. And that's what scrubbing is, for those that wanted the definition of what Dave and I were talking about. It is a long, tedious process, which is why we don't do it during these shows.
Well, that was going to be my final thought. I wanted to renew my motion to swap Texas and Iowa, and I wanted it seconded and for you to call the roll.
Okay, well, I will go ahead and... Oh, sorry, David, you got buzzed.
But I motioned it.
David, any other final thoughts from you?
No. None that you wouldn't buzz. I guess we're done.
All right, well, then on that note, now you can go ahead and look down below us here on the screen. You can see the final bracket. You can see all the fun matchups that we created. You can see how we did not entertain any of David's crazy motions. And
I've got lots of motions
at this point, though. That's it for the show tonight. We will be back again next week, Monday night, with a Hoops HD report, next Thursday with another bracket rundown show in one form or another, and Under the Radar next week as well. But on behalf of John Tytel, Joby Fortson, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.